Well, good morning, everyone. This last commentary closes out our time in Corinth. It's been a great ride for me over the past summer and then this year. This is the last two chapters, chapters 12 and 13, so here are my thoughts. In these last two chapters, there are two main messages that I would like to highlight. One is, in our weakness, God's grace is sufficient. And the second one is, examine your conscience for the building up of the kingdom. Paul starts out chapter 12 by describing a vision or revelation that he experienced. Paul uses the third person in the narrative out of modesty. And he writes that this revelation of heaven occurred 14 years ago, which would make the experience about 44 AD. And that would have been about the time Paul was without a mission and living in Troas until Barnabas came to enlist him to work with the Christian communities of Antioch and Syria. Paul seems hesitant about sharing the story, but it is evident that he had the privilege of having knowledge divinely imparted to him. And the experience appears to be one of many. His concern about sharing this is that it would bring attention to himself instead of God. Paul continues in humility by referring to his suffering, some affliction, that God allowed him to experience to ensure that his divine visions did not make him too proud or boastful. Paul does not specify the exact nature of his thorn in the flesh, but some scripture scholars and church fathers suggest that it was some painful or humiliating physical issue. In Galatians 4, 13 through 15, he describes an eye condition that was brought on after his loss of sight during the conversion experience. It seems that this affliction could have been an obstacle to his mission to evangelize. Maybe he was disfigured in such a way that people had a hard time looking at him. Or maybe the pain was so great that Paul was concerned he could not spread the gospel to the ends of the earth. In any case, Paul says that three times he asked the Lord to heal him of this affliction, and three times the Lord told him to endure because God's grace was enough, and his grace will enable him to live with this affliction. Paul says that his weakness in his physical condition and his submission to the will of God for his life has made him stronger in his faith in the Lord Jesus. He thanks God that his weakness has made the grace of God greater in his life and his mission, since he knows that his missionary work is not his success, but can only boast that it is Christ working through him. So it doesn't sound like Paul is very attractive. In the many writings about Paul, he's described in a manner that is not glowing at all. And now with what sounds like a very ugly eye issue, it doesn't seem like Paul has much going for him on the surface in any way. But as we learn from Scripture, that he is a very passionate personality. He has conviction and fights for truth. And most importantly, he has God's grace, and that is sufficient for him to carry out the call that God gave him to evangelize to the Gentiles. As we move on in the chapter, Paul addresses the super apostles who have come to Corinth and preached falsely. Paul defends himself again as being in no way inferior to the troublemaking ministers. He reminds the Corinthians of his many acts and signs that revealed his authority as a true apostle. However, so he will not be misunderstood as being boastful like them, he includes that he is nothing. Paul's point is that his qualification for being a minister of the new covenant in Jesus Christ comes from God. He is an apostle only by the call of Christ in his conversion experience and God's grace. Paul has loved and served them honorably. However, they have wronged him. And if they love him, they should ask for forgiveness, him for forgiveness. In verse 15, Paul expresses the depth of his love for them when he writes, I will most gladly spend and utterly spent I will most gladly spend and be utterly spent for your sakes. And so then he leaves the door open for them to return his love. He is the Corinthian Christians' spiritual father. And in that role, he has always acted with their best interests as his primary goal. So as we move into the last chapter, Paul gets tougher. He warns the Corinthians that when he comes, there will be judgment on those sinners who are unrepentant. He sees that some of his flock have decided to follow these false apostles. He will hold a formal hearing and judge the members of the community according to the custom of the testimony of two or three witnesses. He will not be lenient. The proof they are looking for, they will find, because it is Christ who will be speaking through him by the power of God. So then he calls the community to examine, to an examination of conscience, to test their motives, their faith, their avoidance of sin, and their obedience. They need to recognize that the purpose of his ministry is to build up the church and not tear it down. It is Paul's hope that the severity of his words will have the effect of bringing the Corinthians who oppose him to repentance before he arrives. These two chapters give us life lessons that should never be forgotten. God's grace is sufficient for us. When we are called to do a service for Christ, God gives us the grace of office. He will give us all that is needed. Any affliction we have, any weakness in ourselves, will be overcome through God. So like Paul, offer up all that we are and all that we are not. Let God fill the blanks. His grace will overcome any obstacle, and through Christ, all things are possible. To even hear the call of God, we must examine our conscience. Are we living in faith? Are we living for Christ? Do we turn away from what is evil? Do we do what is right? Do we recognize the truth that is Christ? Do we seek reconciliation so as to build up the church, Christ's kingdom here on earth? I believe if we consciously ask these questions on a regular basis, we're allowing ourselves to be open to the workings of Christ. And when we are honest with ourselves before the Lord, we open ourselves to the healing grace of God. This allows God to enter the deepest, darkest place in our hearts and shine healing light. Christ's light brings us wisdom, understanding, knowledge, courage, right judgment, reverence, and fear of the Lord. It gives us the opportunity to recognize our sin and turn away from it. As we end this study of St. Paul to the Corinthians, let's just review what we've been able to learn. We see a community that is made up of differing backgrounds: converted pagans, converted Jews, rich, poor, young, old. This small band of Christians living amid a pagan society, trying to understand and follow a new path. And we see Paul, a man who once persecuted Christians, becoming a spiritual father to the Christians. Hearing the voice of the resurrected Christ, Paul turned away from sin and gave his whole self, body, mind, and spirit, to the will of God. Together, Paul and the Corinthians have taught us that the more things change, the more things stay the same. We are a community of rich, poor, young, old, Protestants, converts, and cradle Catholics who, though we live amid a society that was based on Christian values, we see these values deteriorating. So, we need to continue the work of Paul by offering up our weaknesses so God's grace can be poured out upon us, and seek reconciliation for the building up of Christ's church. So in closing, I'm going to quote St. Paul. And finally, sisters, rejoice. Mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the holy ones greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The song I found is called Your Grace is Sufficient for Me.